You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Good morning, Tucson. This is Barney Brenner. Christy Simone is not here, but Jonathan Hoffman is.
Morning, Barney.
Good morning, Jonathan. On this 9/19/19 edition of Wake Up Tucson, we've got a full schedule. You can call in if you want to be on the show at 790-2040, but squeeze it in because we've got so many things on the agenda this morning.
And we're off to a mellow start.
Let's not. Come on.
Let's bring it. Come on.
Okay. Well, just to give an idea of what we're looking at.
We have Crazy Train for a reason here.
Exactly. That's why we get the big bucks.
Exactly.
And if we screw up, they're going to cut our pay in half.
Right. Chris will be back tomorrow. This morning, we've got Ryan Larson, our sports intern. We'll talk about, we'll talk about sports this time.
Unpaid sports intern.
And after Ryan,
and we're all unpaid. I don't remember.
Hope you're getting paid there, buddy.
Yeah, whoop.
Ryan, we got Ron Arenas from Picture Rocks Heating and Cooling.
Or Cooling and Heating, thank you.
Cooling and Heating,
yes,
there you go.
Is.
One of our faves, Chris, just scored big time landing this guy once a week for about the last 10 years. Congressman David Schweikert will report in either from the swamp or from the great state of Maricopa.
No, they're back in Washington. A good time. Dragging their feet around. You know, he's trying to get something done back there, but when was the last time they got anything done back there besides impeach?
You know, I think it was Mark Twain that said, no man's life or estate is safe when Congress is in session.
Thank you very much.
We have Mark Stegman, TUSD board member,
coming in at 8 o'clock hour. Okay.
And we have somebody from Arizona Originals at 8:30 coming in.
She won't tell me who it is.
I have their initials.
It's a mystery guest.
TBD is there. Oh, that's to be determined.
Okay. All right. So what's up, you guys?
Well, we want to go local, county, state, national, international. Got elections in Israel. At the national level, we've got
covered that yesterday for half an hour. This time yesterday.
We didn't cover the politics that much, but Dan Shearer from the Green Valley News was on, and he had just traveled to Israel recently, his relatives over there, and they traveled the whole length of the country, top to bottom, from up in the northwest all the way down to the Red Sea. And it was very interesting to hear him talk about what it's like to travel there and what it's like culturally and socially to move around and basically a nice sort of tourist perspective on traveling through the country.
If you don't know or haven't been or curious about or don't read up on Israel, go visit. You will come back astonished. We heard from Dan that he traveled from the north to south of the country. It is not that far. I like to describe Israel as a country that's 240 miles long, 40 miles wide, and 10,000 years deep. And you can put a shovel anywhere in the ground in Israel and come up with pottery and shards from God knows what era. And a lot of people liken the size of the state of Israel to New Jersey, but something that local folks could relate to much more easily is that Israel, without the West Bank, is actually smaller than Pima County. With the West Bank, it just puts it over the top where it's slightly larger than Pima County. It's that small, folks.
If you go to the Golan Heights, you can see most of the country. You can look out over it.
There's a lot of country. Well, there was complaints raised when Israel annexed the Golan Heights, but it used to be an area where Syria would launch missiles and bombs and artillery onto the farmers down in the Galilee Valley. And Israel annexed it as a permanent defensive perimeter. There was an attack in the area in 1973, and after that, they never relinquished it. So, well, heck, we started internationally. I got national, I got county, local. Where do you want to go from here?
Well, let's go local, Barney. What do you have?
All right, well, we've got crowded races for, not, well, this is slightly state, but crowded races for
CD2.
CD2.
Touched on that a little yesterday. What's your perspective?
Who's running for CD2?
Well, we've got 5 so far on the Republican side.
Jeez. Yikes. Really?
Yep.
Everybody wants the power, don't they?
Well, you know what? Wow. Let's just say that hopefully these people are well-intentioned. Mm-hmm. Problem is, you know, my take on running for office is that you should be a successful businessman who has signed the front of the paycheck, made your fortune, and now willing to give back by enacting laws that will help others do what you did, and having the resources to finance a campaign. Because these 5 Republican candidates, as far as I know, none of them is independently wealthy. And that's just a huge impediment when going against an incumbent.
Mm-hmm. That means most of the time they spend asking for money, actually begging for money. It's sickening to go to your email box and see everybody from both sides just begging, you know, banging the other side. We can't let this happen. These guys are idiots, you know, mama, mama, she's a wah, wah, wah.
Well, the only thing worse...
Send money. Well, that you didn't tell me how you're going to fix anything. It's just send money, send money, send money.
The only thing worse than that, Ed, is being the one who has to compose the email and send it out and put your name on it because you know that...
But when you get to that part, it's all ego. If you want to run for Congress, there's got to be ego in there too. I mean, I understand that people want to do good. I'm not. But I'm just saying.
Well, you need a lot of confidence. This,
you guys have probably been watching it longer than I have, but it's just.
I don't know.
I look at the Democrats, and it was where I started with that thought. It's funny how sometimes I'm thinking about stuff in the middle of the day or something, and the next day we'll talk about it. It's like, where'd that come from? Out of, you know, because it's not in the news. But thinking a lot about those Dems that are running for president, and you know, it's really all about the power. Well, it's not the power. Those guys, gals. Really?
But you know what? That's some of the best entertainment on TV. Late night comedy has taken a dump in years. So if you really want to...
Well, late night comedy is kill Trump. That's what late night comedy is. So,
well,
you know what? If you watch late night comedy, you kind of skewed.
You're disappointed.
Yeah.
But well, fortunately, every time those guys get together and have a debate, they just when it's all over, you have a trough. Full right. material for Republican attack ads.
But the Republicans never take advantage of it.
Or if we had the likes of Johnny Carson still on late night comedy, boy, would he have a treasure trove
yes.
with those clowns.
Because they are clowns, and it's okay. You're allowed to pick on them as clowns, you know. But no, it's all this, not Jimmy Fallon, the Jimmy Kimmel and stuff. Like, they didn't mean what, there's that other guy the guy that CBS brought in when Letterman was gone, handpicked by the head of CBS because he would be a Trump killer. What's his name on CBS on the Late Show? Not the Tonight Show.
Well, I remember back to Conan O'Brien, which is not...
See, we don't know because we don't watch these idiots.
Exactly.
I mean,
you're talking about the late night comedy being all Trump bashing.
Yeah.
So is the Democrat debate, but it's hilarious. You know, the funniest thing on the debates is everything they want to give away and everything they're going to do. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And in reality, not a single one of them has done much more than
Stephen Colbert.
Oh,
Stephen Colbert.
Go.
What a hack job. That's all his job is to attack Trump.
You know, I
it's like
I was doing an interesting interview with Ben Shapiro and
Ben is one bright young man.
Yeah.
Never at a loss.
I can't remember. I made sure I had the guy's name in my mind, and then before I got it out,
you and me both, dude. Yeah.
But the point was, I'll skip right to the Dennis Miller. Dennis Miller.
Yay.
I was talking with Dennis Miller.
Smart, funny man.
And Miller was pointing out, he says, you know, it's really weird today because when he was doing it, that the object of the exercise when you're a comedian was to get laughs.
Right.
But people don't worry about, you know, it's not about getting laughs anymore. Right.
It's about
getting applause.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They call it clapter.
Cheers. Brilliant. Clapter. Yeah.
Brilliant.
You tell a joke and everybody's real serious, and then when you're supposed to be laughing, they clap.
Because, yeah, you got
them. Because it's not funny.
No.
They're just cheering on the bomb throwers.
Good point, you guys. I never thought of it that way. You know, Miller said that.
That's
pretty good. Yeah. I watch his tweets. You guys, you got to watch Dennis Miller's tweets. Miller, NFL, during football season. Like when there's a game on, he is so funny.
Well, he used to be the color commentator for a while for Monday Night Football.
Right. Yeah, so he's into football, but he's also into the world, and he is so funny the way he brings it all together. So follow him sometime. You'll be sharing. Even if you don't tweet, you'll be watch him, and it's funny.
Yeah,
hey, let's take a break here.
Video. Yep, you're the boss.
At about 6:18 in the morning, 10:30. The Voice. This old guy with a really good voice, born on this date, Brooke Benton. 10:30. The Voice. Barney Brenner and Jonathan Hoffman sit in for the Christy Simone on a secret mission.
Yes, we wonder
where he'll be back tomorrow if he survives. We'll see.
We were wondering if he went to Area 51.
I believe that could be.
I'm glad this Big Girls Don't Cry is a birthday and had nothing to do with the guest hosts.
You know, we're having Mark Stegman coming in to talk, and the topic's going to be the whole controversy over the updating of the family life curriculum,
so-called
known as sex education.
Including sex education in
the public schools. And on that topic, there was a very interesting opinion piece that was done collectively by the Star editorial board. And basically, one of the things they did in this piece was come down hard on the Hispanic community. Because guess what?
How dare they not fall in line?
Yeah, that was the whole tenor of the article. I was mildly shocked.
Oh, so the Star is telling the Hispanic community what to do instead of the Hispanic community?
Yeah.
Instead of just reporting what's going on?
Well, it was an opinion piece, so they're supposed to be giving an opinion.
Yeah.
But the thing is that they're coming down in the Hispanic community because a lot of them were saying, hey, you know what? We have a long tradition of teaching this stuff in the home, in the house, in the family, not in the school. Why isn't that acknowledged and respected?
And it wouldn't be so bad if the schools were teaching kids how to read, write, think about the great country we live in.
Yeah, and I'd like to add that's true in the Hispanic community, but it's also true in the greater American culture, too.
Thank you.
The way it's always been. You know, there are a lot of things that are intimate and within the family and are best taught and communicated with loving arms, physically and figuratively, and that used to be, you know, how families work, how they interact. Everything you know about sex and creating new families was done in the home. And now for some reason, you want to send kids to this government facility to teach them reading, writing, and arithmetic.
And
they want to add to that the most important developmental stage of a child between 2 and 5. They want to take that over with the government with preschool,
yep,
universal preschool. And now they might as, you know, I think what they might as well do is just take all the kids out of all the homes, stick them in barracks, and raise them in-house instead of having to deal with the parents and what they want to do.
Brave new world. You know, in Europe, and many countries in Europe, if you try to homeschool, they will come in and grab your kids and haul them off.
Mm-hmm.
That is illegal. I mean, we don't understand. We don't see that reported on. But what's going on here is nothing less than a statist attempt to take over your kids. And it reminds me of this.
The kids don't belong to you. They belong to the king. You can keep them as long as you don't make the king angry.
That's the difference between being a citizen.
That's the difference between Europe and the U.S., fundamentally.
Yeah, in Europe, in the U.S., you're a citizen. In Europe,
you're a subject.
Exactly right. And it reminds me of a famous quote from a guy by the name of, he took on this name, but Lenin. Give me the kids for 4 years, and when they are grown up, you will not be able to uproot them from what I have taught them.
Yep.
I've written a few pieces on this, how, you know, it's whether you call it statist or Marxist, it's totalitarian rule. It's the tendency of government to get bigger and seize more power. And this country is really the last bulwark fighting that on Earth.
The big difference, what made America unique and so creative and strong and everything else, was that they shifted that idea of building and problem solving away from the king and out in the broader community themselves, people getting together outside the castle and outside the government machinations and machinery. And there's more intelligence, information, and capability among the entire people than there is from a few Ivy League suits in the government administration. And if you don't believe that, then you probably belong in Europe and not here.
Yeah, I'm with that. A lot of
and that's what made the country great. Because if you look at a lot of the things that got solved, advancements that were made, they were done in the civil private sector, not the government sector. And there's a disturbing trend these days is that every time there's a problem, people turn to the government and say, "Well, how are you going to fix this? How are you going to help me?" You know,
what your country can do for you.
Yeah.
Where did I hear that?
You heard that a long time ago.
I was a child. That's a guy, John F. Kennedy, asked not what your country could do for you, but what you can do for your country. And that's been turned around. Actually, Rush has a nice take on an update for that phrase. Ask not what your country can do for you. Demand it.
That's pretty much how it goes.
Pretty clever. Yes, you know, we are able to, we have created this country, not we. We are the inheritors of a country that was built on the idea that people are the resources that create that produce prosperity. And the government's job, you know, Thomas Jefferson said it best, prevent men from harming one another and don't take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government. And that, you know, I've been reading up on, I'm working on a piece for Town Hall and reading up on some of Jefferson's small government writings and letters. And, you know, it's such a simple concept. Prevent, laws that govern people in their relationships with each other so you don't harm your neighbor. Other than that, keep the heck out of the way.
And your neighbor, you got to count on your neighbor is the way it was supposed to work. But now we're fighting with our neighbor instead of getting it together. We're going to be coming up on the bottom of the hour news.
Ryan Larson is on the line. We'll talk sports and stuff coming up, okay?
Sounds good.
10:30, The Voice. Sax's Candy Dolfer's birthday today.
Ed, what are you trying to say with this song?
Fools rush in. Fools are here.
Just checking.
We're all rushed in.
I wasn't even thinking of that
until you brought it up.
We're all rushed in, sitting down in the chairs.
There you go. 7:35 in the morning. It is our unpaid sports intern. He keeps coming back for more.
And he's worth every penny.
Yeah, it's true. It is true.
Welcome, Brian. We have a treat for you today. Chris is usually pretty good at bantering back and forth on sports, but we're less so. So you can take it away. It's all yours for a couple of
segments. They're sport deficient, so you help us.
We know
right,
there
so you
are.
You want me to monologue?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, no, you can prompt us, but you know, there's.
I have one question. Is you know the sport where the ball's real small and it's real hard? Which one is that?
Is that the one with dimples in it?
You talking about golf?
No.
Yeah. That's it.
Okay.
I thought he was going with the larger one with points on both.
Let's
ends.
Go, guys. Okay. So what you want to talk about, Ryan?
I mean, first let's talk about some college football.
Okay.
Because there was a really big game in Tucson this week with the Wildcats taking on Texas Tech. And honestly, this was a game that felt like Kevin Sumlin really needed to win.
Mm-hmm.
So he could protect his job security, honestly. If not, he was going to enter the hot seat. And Arizona goes out there, and they won the game, but in a really unexpected way. It was largely through their defense.
Right.
After watching the first two games of the season, when you give up 40 points to NAU, that was definitely not something anyone expected. And Texas Tech had a top-10 offense coming into the game as well. Arizona holds them to 14 points, ends up winning 28-14. This is a massive game, massive win for Arizona, really, because now they're 2-1 going into Pac-12 play. And we talked about before the season began that if Arizona was really going to make it to a bowl game, they probably needed to start 3-0 in non-conference play at the very worst, 2-1. And Hawaii seemed like the more winnable game than Texas Tech. And granted, playing in Hawaii is a major trap game when you go down there week zero and try and win that game. So it's not overly surprising that Arizona lost that. But it seems like they've started to rebound a little bit now, heading into Pac-12 play. And now the Wildcats have a bye this week to really try and righten the ship, get things exactly the way they need to be as they start conference play. And then the week after this, they play UCLA. And UCLA is an absolute disaster of a football team. And they could get.
Yes, they are. Yep.
Yeah, UCLA is awful. They're really bad. So Arizona should win that.
So look. So I have to tell you. So my best friend who I go to the games with is NAU grad and an Oklahoma grad. And so he goes to all the Oklahoma watch parties and stuff like that. And so Oklahoma played UCLA right in the Coliseum, right? Is that where they play? Where they the Rose Bowl?
They play in the Rose Bowl.
Okay. There's nobody in town. They were giving away tickets in Los Angeles for this game because they wanted to make a crowd for TV because nobody is going to the UCLA games. That's how bad they are.
They gave every season ticket holder 4 extra tickets to those games.
It was crazy.
Oh, that is crazy.
So we have a chance, guys. We have a chance.
Well, as bad as UCLA is, it's simply a reflection on the rest of the state.
Oh, geez, here we go. Anyway.
I'm sorry.
Anyway.
Let me throw
I
in a
comment
a
on that.
No, you don't have to.
No, but I want to comment on this guy we have on the line.
Yeah.
You know, Ryan, you're 22, is it?
Yeah.
I would put this guy as a sports commentator up against any of the million-dollar folks on the air.
Yep.
His knowledge of sports, instant recall, presentation, voice, the works is absolutely world-class. So I just want to say, Ryan, we're privileged to have you calling in regularly. And just personally, I wanted to say, I hope you've got $1 million future.
Yeah,
in sports.
I think he does. And
okay,
Barney just wants a job, is what he's trying to do. He wants to carry your gym bag. No, okay, that's what this is all about. Anyway,
I mean, I've shaken his hand, but he can handle his gym bag.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
So what's next? We got some teams close to clinching the playoffs.
Yeah.
In baseball, why don't we go there next?
Catch us up for all of us who haven't watched baseball all year. Now is the time to start watching. So what's up?
Now is the time to start watching because this is the most fun part of the baseball season. It's a 162-game season, which can always be a grind. But now we're getting into the playoffs. And last night, the Astros clinched a spot in the playoffs in the American League West. They haven't won the division yet, but they are the first team to reach 100 wins this season. They have the best record in baseball. So the Houston Astros are mainly the team to watch because their pitching staff is incredible. Compared to everybody else, their pitching staff is miles ahead because they have Justin Verlander, who has been in the league for years. He's probably going to win the Cy Young this year. They also have Gerrit Cole, who might be the second place finisher in the Cy Young, and Wade Miley, who has rebounded. Diamondbacks fans will remember that name. He has rebounded significantly with the Astros and really turned his career around. The Astros are the number one team to watch. And then in the National League, it's not fun for Diamondbacks fans to hear this, but the Dodgers are far and away the best team in the National League right now. They are 98 wins. They clinched the division weeks ago because the Diamondbacks are in second place. They're 20 games behind. And so the Dodgers are just dominating behind one of the best offenses that we've seen with guys like Corey Bellinger, who's going to win the National League MVP. And then other teams that are in there, the Yankees are the clear third spot. They're at 99 wins. They're only a game behind the Astros, but they have significant question marks surrounding their pitching staff. But the Yankees have the most fun offense in baseball because all they do is hit home runs. So if you like home runs, watch the Yankees because that's all you're going to see. It's the only way the Yankees can score is if they hit home runs.
Shades of 1961. 240 home runs in 61. That's still the all-time major league record, isn't it?
It actually got broken last year by the Yankees, and then this year several teams have broken the all-time home run record. The Yankees have done it. The Twins actually have the most home runs in baseball right now, but the Yankees are close behind.
Wow.
And so,
that'll give you an idea how up-to-date I am.
This is just what baseball is now. It's turned into a lot of strikeouts and a lot of home runs. And the Yankees have really capitalized on hitting a lot of home runs. The Astros have capitalized on throwing a lot of strikeouts. So if that's what you like in baseball, if you're kind of more old school and you want to see singles and doubles and lots of hits, that just doesn't happen anymore.
People running the bases and faking it out. Not anymore, huh?
Are they just swinging for the fences? Is the aluminum bats have any place in the long ball?
So there's a few things here. The first is there is talk about the baseball being juiced, as in the way they're manufacturing the baseball now. It's designed to go farther, allowing players to hit home runs with ease. We're seeing shortstops regularly hit over 30 home runs now, which was a near impossibility even 10 years ago. And then after that, it's the analytics of baseball. People really get into analytics in baseball, and they find that the most efficient thing you can do as a hitter is either draw a walk or hit a home run. Home run is obviously the most efficient, so the game is shifting to where players who can hit more home runs, even if they strike out more or get fewer hits, are given priority. They're the players teams want to sign, and therefore we're seeing more and more players come to the league who can hit it really far, but don't necessarily play for contact. There's very few just pure contact guys left. Perhaps the most prominent example is DJ LeMahieu on the Yankees. He was an all-star. He's batting over 300. But even the amount of players who bat over 300 in a season is dropping significantly. And it's just all about the long ball now and who can hit as many home runs as possible. And clearly it's working for some teams. The Twins and the Yankees, who have hit the most home runs in baseball, they both are going to win their division. But it is bad in some respects if you're a fan of the game where you see hits, you see the strategy of running the bases. But if you just like home runs and that's what you're all about, baseball is great.
Well, I'll tell you what. We just got quite an education on the change in the ball, the history of how shortstops were not the long ball hitters. They were recruited for their fielding skills.
You know what I like about Ryan is that when you're formulating your question, he gives you the answer before you get there. And he's right on it. He's following the train of thought.
I'm trying my best here.
Your best is off the charts, my friend. What else you got? What other highlights on the sports scenes can we hit here?
All right, I think the last thing that is most important that we talk about is NFL football right now. And specifically, I know there are a lot of Cardinals fans listening to this broadcast, and we got to talk about Kyler Murray and the way the Cardinals have played. And because there's probably a little bit of skepticism surrounding the Cardinals right now and the way that the season has started. The Cardinals have started 0-1-1, which sounds weird, but it means they've lost a game and they've tied a game. And the Cardinals received a lot of criticism after game one for the way Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray played. But Kyler Murray is playing very, very well at this point. He's already thrown for 657 yards on the season. That's over 300 yards a game. And the offense, despite scoring 26 and 17 points respectively in the two games, has shown lots of promise. Kyler Murray, the thrower, is basically everything that he was billed to be. The hype around his arm was very real. And it's only 2 weeks into the season, so you don't want to start overreacting because a two-game sample size, especially in football, is not a lot. But Kyler Murray looks the part of an NFL quarterback despite being short and being able to, you know, like run and do stuff that most quarterbacks don't do. But Cliff Kingsbury and his offense is still a work in progress.
Right.
And now, Kyler Murray is showing that he has the talent. And the Cardinals have lost two games so far. They lost to the Lions, who they didn't lose. They tied, sorry. They tied to the Lions.
Gosh.
Tied with the Lions, which wasn't as bad as it sounds because it's a rookie quarterback's first game. Like, Kyler Murray has played two total NFL games. And then they lose to the Ravens, and the Ravens, at least two games in, look like one of the better teams in the AFC, so I'm not overly concerned about that. And to think about what Murray's doing with David Johnson, the Cardinals' star running back, having been injured in the last game and still being able to put up pretty big numbers, he's basically revitalized Larry Fitzgerald. Larry Fitzgerald has over 100 receiving yards per game, which is pretty awesome.
No, and Kyler Murray's a real deal. Just you watch. Give him a little time. You're absolutely right, man.
The problems with the Cardinals are everywhere else on the team besides Kyler Murray. There are problems everywhere else with the defense specifically and then injury concerns on the offense. But for now, Kyler Murray should be the least of the team's concerns, though, because he's the quarterback, because he was the number one overall pick. Teams are, the media fans are always going to focus the most on him. But sure, Kyler Murray looks really good. And this season doesn't matter anyway because the Patriots are going to go 16-0 and win the Super Bowl.
Oh, my gosh. We'll get to that next week. That's a whole different story, isn't it?
That's a nice tease to tune in next week.
We're talking Ryan, we got to run here, as it were.
Ryan Larson, thanks for calling in.
Just let Barney know where your gym bag is, and he'll take care of it for you, okay?
Yeah. Thanks for letting me talk that long without stopping.
That's great.
I hope nobody got tired of my voice.
No, never.
We're listening on every word, actually. Ryan, thank you, man. Ryan Larson, our unpaid intern, the best in the biz up in Utah. So thanks a lot, man. Have a great week, okay? Enjoy your sports weekend long. Yeah, all right. Let's see. We got Ron Arenas biting the bit over here, so let's do it. Next, 10:30, The Voice.
Back here with Ron Arenas from Picturox Cooling and Heating. Just been talking a little during the break, and this is one busy guy. Been in business for 18 years and just keeps getting busier. So welcome to...
Good morning.
KVOI, The Voice, in the... what do we call this? The spider hole still?
It's the air-conditioned spider hole. Anyhow, so look, your job never ends, man. You know, if it's not hot, it's cold, and it's...
And that's what we want.
Or something's leaking.
Or something's leaking, yeah.
Ron's been doing plumbing for five years.
That's true, yes. In the land of heat pumps, you have a year-round work.
Right. Yeah, we're kind of coming into our between season right now. October is usually very nice outside, so it's not good for us, but
So, folks, if you have a plumbing leak, now's the time to get it
done.
That's
right.
Now's the time to have a leak.
Or if you're smart and you just get a servicing twice a year, now's a good time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We usually start servicing the furnaces about mid-October.
Very good. What's entailed in your and costs? Anything you want to say? This is
the time.
You're one of our sponsors, my friend.
Well, when we are servicing the furnace, I mean, on gas appliances, the big thing is making sure that everything is safe, that it's not leaking any gas, that there's no cracked heat exchangers, that it's burning properly. We just want to make sure that you and your family wake up in the morning. Of course, we want to also make sure that you're getting heat on the cold nights, but the number one concern is making sure that everything's safe.
Do you see a lot of units that are real old that are ripe for problems?
Occasionally we do. Most of them are within the 10 to 15 year range. That's mostly what we see out there in the field.
And Mrs. Alexander wants to know how long it's going to last. 15, 20, how, and then we'll start worrying about buying a new one.
Well, typically a air conditioning system in Tucson, the normal lifespan is about 12 to 15 years.
Wow, that's it, huh?
Yeah. Your furnace could last a lot longer because we just don't use the heat nearly as much as we use the air conditioning.
Mm. Well, I got to say, I've got an AC unit that's living on way borrowed time, but it's doing the job. You know, one other thing I wanted to mention here, we're sitting here with this is Barney Brenner, you got Jonathan Hoffman and Ed Alexander, and we all, and unrehearsed, we are customers of Picture Rocks Cooling and Heating in Ron Arena. So
you are, and we're thankful for that.
Well, that's just a plug for how trusted you are, and you know you're 3 for 3 here. So
I'll tell you something.
No, and Chris too.
Of course,
absolutely. That's 4. Yep.
He's not here right now.
I'll tell you something. We have a heat pump, so I'm always kind of nervous because that's going year round, and so a couple times a year, I call up Ron and he'll send somebody out to just check it over to make sure it doesn't stop in the middle of 100-degree weather. And I'll tell you, last guy he sent out went through the whole thing. He found some components that were marginal. He tested them with a testometer or whatever it was, and he explained to me everything that was
term.
Going
the
on.
Official name,
a testometer, yeah. It was a Arenas testometer. But anyway, he evaluated each component for me, explained to me what was going on, asked me what I wanted to replace and what I wanted to stick with. So it was a real comprehensive. He knew what I wanted. He knew that I wanted him to go through the thing and make sure that it's going to be reliable. And he did go through the whole thing, checked out all the electric components and everything in there. And we went through it and got everything that was marginal, we got replaced. So I'm really, I got a lot of peace of mind going on there from that kind of service.
And you're 24 hours a day available, the company, correct?
Usually we're not. On the plumbing side, we can be if there's emergencies.
Uh-huh.
That's
that's what I'm referring to.
Right, right. On the air conditioning side, we're 6 days a week, about 12 hours a day. So
close enough. And something goes out at night, at least you're not going to be burning your tail off
right
till
right.
next day. But
and we fill up all those hours every week, so our guys are out there working long weeks every week.
How many guys you got working for you?
We have 4 air conditioning trucks and 2 plumbing trucks.
Nice.
Hitting the streets every corner of the town.
And you
cover
all the way from Vail, right? All
yeah,
the way up to
we're in Vail, Oracle. Sabino Canyon, Oracle, Three Points, Marana.
Mm. Got it.
Not Ajo.
Not Ajo, no.
Okay, just checking. That's part of Pima County.
It is. It is. Very far part of Pima County. We're also down in Green Valley and Sahuarita.
Very good. Yep. Nice. Greater nice. Tucson area. How'd you get into the biz, Ron?
I needed a job, actually. And I was working for 2 smaller companies. And after a few years, I decided that I wanted to go on my own.
There you go.
So that's what I did.
18 years ago.
18 years ago. Started right. Picture Rocks Cooling.
At the turn of the century.
Got a question from John on the line there. And he wants to know, how comes capacitors are like the ones that always go? What's with that with heating and stuff like that? Is it just too hot or what?
Well, on the capacitors, they used to have a liquid in them, excuse me, that would cool down the capacitor, and it was, I guess it's toxic, so they quit using that.
Geez, yep.
And now whatever they're using isn't as good as the old stuff. They typically probably, the new ones only last a few years, maybe 3 years. The old ones, we sometimes we'll find a 30-year-old air conditioning unit with the original capacitor in it.
Those are PCBs?
Yes.
That they used for
PCBs in there.
Cooling, yep. They used to use those on the transformers that you'd have on the power poles. And,
okay.
You know, that's everything's going to kill us. So
right.
We've got to phase that out. Freon, it's going to kill us.
We're all going to die, yeah.
Yep. Well, I got news for you.
We're all going to die. Yeah. Thank you very much.
There you go. Any other?
We're getting heavy here, Ron. That's funny. Us know. You got any specials going on right now for get it all together? You know, get ready for winter kind of thing. Winterize?
Not yet. We're still kind of on the tail end of the summer.
It's still 95 degrees, 98 every day.
Right.
Although it's cooling off.
It is. The mornings and the evenings are a lot nicer.
And this weekend's going to be pretty nice.
Yeah, we might get wet this weekend.
It's dropping. We can only hope.
All super.
It's been a lousy rainy season at our house.
Yep. Well, thank you for taking care of all of us and the DeSimones, too. Chris is on a secret mission today again, but he'll be back tomorrow if he survives. So we shall see. Ron Arenas, give him the phone number again.
Phone number to get a hold of us is 440-4069. Or picturerockscooling.com.
Know that one by heart.
Okay. Well, super. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you.
All righty. Coming up, we've got Schweikert is on the way. I got to find my theme music here. What else do we have?
We have Mark Stegeman
from the Tucson Unified School District. And a little entertainment from the Arizona Originals.